Daniel is going to come and read to us from our Bible reading for this morning from Colossians chapter 3.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And of all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, wherever in the world or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
It's great when people bring their skills, isn't it, to the table. And that passage in Colossians reminds us that whoever we are, whatever we do it for God. And that's really what I want to talk about today. So hope you're ready for that. If you've got your passage, Colossians chapter 3. Thanks, Daniel, for reading it. We're on a series called Frontline, and we started a couple of weeks ago. If you've missed any, please do catch up on the church YouTube channel. It's all there. We've had a few giveaways. We've done some coaster giveaways that some of you put on your desk at work or at home. There was a little card last week for you to reflect on some of the things we talked about. And have you got a pencil today? Everybody got a pencil today? Yeah, good. Well, that's a good start. Anyway, keep it behind your ear, and you never know when you might need it. It's the best place for it to be. And also the map as well. I hope you've just paused long enough at the map in the foyer. And there's lots of red pins in, and those red pins represent the places that our congregation scatters to on a Monday. The blue pin is here, Newcastle Baptist Church. I'm aware that there are people watching online who are distant from us, and we probably haven't got a big enough map to put you all on. But wherever you work, wherever your front line is on a Monday, that's where we'd like you to put your red pin. So if you haven't put your red pin on yet, please make sure you do it today. And it's a great visual expression of how the church gathers and scatters during the week onto those places we call the front line. So whether you're paid in those places, or whether you're caring in those places, whether you're studying in those places, whether you're praying in those places, whatever you do, you're doing it for God. And that is our theme for this morning. Let's watch the short video for this week.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience,
so that you are recognised.
Yeah, good.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control,
so that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, break through.
Let my life overflow with you.
We thought about, in week one, making all the difference we can. Last week, we looked at the idea of wherever we are, and we looked at the story of Jacob. So today, we're going to pick up this theme of whatever you do in our front line. Just a quick reminder that the surveys tell us that there are 6% of the population in the United Kingdom who attend church at least once a month. 6%. So a very small minority in the light of this vast nation that we have and the population. And it's easy for us to feel a little bit intimidated by that information. But of course, on a Sunday, we gather together. We gather at the top corner there to encourage each other, to inspire each other, to challenge one another, to continue to be the people of God in the places that we go to. Because as soon as we leave this place, then that 6% are scattered all over the place as we try to represent in the map in the foyer as well. So whatever you do matters to God. Whether in an office, a home, a building site, a classroom, whether it's paid work or work that you do for love. Do you love that phrase, the work you do for love? What does that mean? What does the work you do for love mean? It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. The person you're receiving it isn't going to pay you for it. That's the work you do for love. Looking after children, caring for your relatives, supporting a spouse in the work life, whatever it is, you're making a difference by whatever you do. And up front, I just want to say this to you this morning, that everything you do matters to God, and God matters to everything you do. Everything you do matters to God, and God matters to everything you do, whatever you do. Now, it's clear in the Bible, of course, that right from the very beginning, God gave us things to do. You know, he didn't just create us to be on holiday permanently. He gave us things to do. That was part of creation. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, this is what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That was the job that Adam was given by the Creator God. There is work to do as part of our creation in the image of God, because the God who created us is a God who works. He created all things for us in the time that he had to do that. And then as he created it, as he worked to do everything he did, he then gave the task to Adam to say, Adam, I want you to work as well. This is good. Work is a good thing. Work is a product of creation. Doing stuff is not a curse. Working is not a curse to us. It was part of the pre-fall expectations of a God who created us to work, to do things, whatever it is that God has given us to do. Now, that means that what we do is part of God's plan. What we do is connected to the divine itself. What we do is a call from God. Whatever we do is a vocation. Literally, the Latin means to a call from God, a vocation. Traditionally, we have several types of work that we call vocations, don't we? You know, it's a vocation, but God's people are called to work. There's a vocation that God presses into us, whatever it is that we're doing, at whatever stage of life we're doing it as well. That work is a priority. How you do, whatever you do, is a priority in our lives. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14, that Dan read to us earlier, it talks about our character. It talks about the character that we are making the difference. Clothe yourselves with goodness and kindness and gentleness. Clothe yourselves with those things, because once you've got those clothes on, then the work you do is going to be even more significant. I don't know how you get dressed for work. Some of you, I guess you wear a uniform. I'm guessing some of you, there are particular clothes you have to put on because of the nature of the job you do. The one thing that Zoom and lockdown taught us was you only have to dress from the waist up, don't you? That's all you have to do. And some of you are still doing that. I can tell by what you've got on today. You're only bothered about what's on the waist up, because nobody has been seeing the waist down for about 3 years. And we haven't got out of the habit of that. Some of you used to wear a suit to work, and then when you could no longer go to the office, you stopped wearing a suit and you just went super casual. The clothes we wear actually affect perhaps how we work as well. We wear the clothes appropriate to the work we're doing. And so what clothes does God want us to wear? Paul says, I want you to put these clothes on. I want you to develop the character that looks like Jesus, so that whatever you do, the priority is, this is working for him. I am a follower of Jesus in the places that I am. I am going to reflect the Creator himself in the work that I do. I was thinking we could start a new thing. You know, a few years ago, it was What Would Jesus Do? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Some of you are too young to remember What Would Jesus Do? It's a great fad for in the Christian world with wristbands and everything. WWJD. I thought we should do WWJW, if that's okay. What Would Jesus Wear? Would that be okay? I mean, I know it was sandals and no socks, and some of you are still wearing sandals and no socks, I know, in the summer. But what would Jesus wear? What would he wear? He would wear kindness, wouldn't he? He would wear goodness. He would wear compassion. He would wear grace. He would wear forgiveness. Whenever he went into a workplace, his place of work, whatever he did, those were the character traits that he had. And it should be no different for those who are followers of Jesus to go into those places where we work, whatever we do, to reflect the character of Jesus himself. What difference would that make to you? If that was your starting point when you go to work, either later today or tomorrow morning or at some point this week, when you do what it is that you do. Now, doing things is good because we thrive emotionally when we're doing things. We thrive physically and spiritually when we do it. It's part of who we are. I mean, I'm guessing if you're some weeks, you wish that the ratio of work to rest was not 6-1, don't you? That would be better, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be better, I was thinking, if it was 1-6. You work one day and you rest 6 days. And then I realised there are people who, that is their life. They're called students, aren't they? I mean, that's what happened when I was a student, I have to say. It was a doddle back then. I don't think it is anymore. But maybe if he'd just gone 50-50, that would have been better, wouldn't it? It would have been better if it were just a 50-50 split between working and resting. But no, it's not, is it? It's because we're made to work. That's the priority of God's creation. Whatever you do, and everyone in this room, and those of you watching online, you are doing stuff every day, whatever it is. The significance that you have is that you are doing things that reflect the Creator who has given you those things to do. Now, I know some of you are not seeing your workplace perhaps in that light at the moment. Perhaps you're not seeing the work that you do, that you have to do. Maybe you're not seeing it in that light. But I want to just say to you, you know, work is a priority where God's concerned. He made us to work, to do things. And I've often thought about whether we should live to work or work to live. I don't know if you ever thought about that particular phrase. Do we live to work or do we work to live? And I think the Bible says we live to work, to do things. He's created us to do things. That is what helps us to become fully human in who we are. We don't do it because that is all there is, but we do it because that is how we discover who we are, and that is how we get fulfilled because of the way we were made to be. The danger of living to work, of course, is that work becomes the action that defines us. And God never intended that to be the case. We're not defined by what we do. Followers of Jesus are not defined by what they do. They're defined by who they are. And who we are is rooted in who God thinks we are and who Jesus thinks we are. Your character when you work reflects where your focus is and affects whatever you do. It's the full expression of what God has given us, our gifts, our skills, our expertise, our abilities, our character, our burdens. And if we believe that everything we have comes from God, then we are responsible for using the things that God has given us in order to do things His way. So don't see work as a necessary evil or as a punishment for the fall. It's God's plan. And we can become aware that we are designed. We're designed to work in the way that He has called us to work so that others get a glimpse of who we're working for. Secondly, I think work is that there is a purpose in whatever you do. There is a purpose. And that purpose is to reflect the Creator. What does Paul say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 16? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The purpose when we come to do whatever we do is to let the peace of Christ rule, take first place. That's his purpose for our work, to let his peace rule. Second thing is to let Christ's message dwell in us. We don't suddenly on a Monday morning isolate our Christian faith and then we work and then we pick it back up again. It's all part of who we are. Let Christ's message dwell in you, live in you, take root in you, become part of who you are, and be thankful. Do you notice that when what Paul says? Be thankful with gratitude in your hearts. Because then we begin to feel alive, because we're part of what God has given us to do. There's a film now, it's very old, called Chariots of Fire. Do you remember the film Chariots of Fire? Could we sing the tune together? Am I the only one who's watched the film Chariots of Fire? Clearly I have. It's the story of Eric Liddell. He was an Olympic athlete who was a follower of Jesus. 1928 Olympics. He made a commitment that he wasn't going to race on a Sunday, but the race for his discipline was on a Sunday, and he refused to race it. And so he had to race another race. And he won a gold medal when he ran the other race. And after that, he felt that God's call to take him to China as a missionary. Now, Eric Liddell, when he was a runner, and clearly at the top of his running game, he said this: when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. I wonder if that could be a statement you would share. When I'm looking after my kids, I feel his pleasure. When I've got another angry customer on the phone, I feel his pleasure. When I'm bringing hope to someone who is hopeless, I feel his pleasure. When I'm praying, I feel his pleasure. Because that's the purpose of the work we do, to feel God's pleasure. He wants us to feel his pleasure because we're in doing what he's called us to do in the way that he's called us to do it. When I do what I've been created and gifted and skilled to do, I feel his pleasure. Because that's what he's called me to. That whatever I do is what he's called me to do. That's where peace resides. That's where thanksgiving is an easy note of praise to your Creator. That's where living the message of Christ that dwells in our hearts finds its fulfillment. Now, in Paul's letter to Colossians, and you might want to have a read of the whole letter at some point during this week, he addresses this very small, these new followers of Jesus, finding themselves in this community in a town controlled by Romans, very oppressed, very hard to be a follower of Jesus, very hard to work in a way that pleases God because they're working to please the Romans and their employers. And he's very aware that many people who will be reading this letter are feeling oppressed and damaged by work, and relationships are not being built in the way that God intended. There's no peace and there's little thankfulness going on in that community. And so he writes to them to lift their eyes to say, whatever you do, in every relationship that you have, build it, do it in a way that reflects the Creator. That is the purpose. The circumstances you're in may not be the perfect circumstances. The bosses that you have are not the best of bosses. They are treating you badly. But whatever you do, do it for God's pleasure. This is the kingdom vision. This is the kingdom vision that we are still called to bring into those places where we work, with the people that we work with, that we live with, that we serve, that we volunteer with. This is the vision, the kingdom vision, because whatever we do, it matters, it counts, and that is our purpose. Just imagine how workplaces and families and homes and relationships can change when we work for God's purpose in a way that reflects Jesus to all. Yeah, I love the variety of people who we find in the Bible. It's the most staggering group of people, isn't it? Abraham, he was a cattle trader by profession. Joseph, he became prime minister and a hedge fund manager, dealing mainly in wheat futures. Luke was a doctor. The Ethiopian eunuch was a central banker. Dorcas was a fashion designer, flooding the catwalks of Joppa with the latest fashion. Simon, the leather worker, the Louis Vuitton of the first century. I mean, these were ordinary people who worked with purpose because they realized that God had given this for them to do. And they did it knowing his pleasure, knowing that they were in the middle of God's call into their lives. You know, the Greeks, they would want a philosopher God. The Romans, they would love a statesman God. But Jesus, he came as a carpenter, a worker. Imagine. Imagine the things he made. Can you imagine the things that Jesus made? They must have been amazing, mustn't they? Don't you think? They must have been absolutely perfect. Because he saw what the Father doing and he responded in the same way. You know, if we don't have a purpose to our work, we end up doing the minimum we can. If we don't have a purpose, we'll just do what we're contracted for, with what perhaps we can get away with sometimes, rather than serving everything, rather than seeing everything we do is an opportunity to work differently. And that brings me to the final part of this jigsaw this morning. The passion for work. Colossians 3:17 says, do it. What does it say? Do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. That is what brings passion to whatever you do. Work wholeheartedly, holding nothing of yourself back, putting your heart and soul into it because your master, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. Whoop. A little bit further on in Paul's letter to Colossians and verse 23, he has this to say, as if we didn't hear it the first time. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, with passion, with commitment, in selfless service as a response to his love for you. That's what makes a difference to whatever we do. But of course we know that the real world isn't perfect, is it? And we're not perfect. The biblical view of work is tinged by a broken world that we all live in and work in every single day, where relationships get damaged, where the work we do doesn't get appreciated, where perhaps sometimes we aren't giving of our very best. And when the alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning for some of you, how many times are you going to press the snooze button? But you've got to get up and face another day. And that's the problem. Because God prioritized work for us, yet sin gets in the way. And the Genesis 3 model of work was hard. It was hard graft. It was backbreaking work. It was a burden instead of the delight that God intended in Genesis 2. God's priority and purpose for work right at the beginning was disregarded by the choices that not only Adam and Eve made, but sometimes we can make as well. They lost their passion for the work that God had given them to do, the work he'd called them to do, the work he'd created for them to do. They lost their passion for it. But here's the good news. We can rediscover passion for whatever you do. God designed every part of his creation to be fruitful. And God wants you to know that the work you do, when you do it in the way that he's called you to do it, with the skills and gifts he has given you, then you can rediscover the passion because it's wrapped up in who he is and who he's called you to be. You know, I look at the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know whether you ever... Do you ever dig into the book of Ecclesiastes? can be a bit depression at times, can't it? The guy's a bit like Eeyore most of the time, you know. What's the point of life? There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, it's hopeless. It's horrible. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Well, there's some good bits in it as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 17. No, this is the Eeyore bit. So I hated life, he says, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun. I know that's how Monday morning feels, but please don't let it stay like that. Because there's some good news in here as well. I made up my mind that there's nothing better for us men and women than to have a good time in whatever we do. That's our lot. Who knows if there's anything else to life? Who cares if there's anything else to life when God has given us work to do? When he's given us the things that are right in front of us, with the people who are right in front of us, to serve him and to lift up his name. The work he's called us to do. Work is, what does he say, our lot. Good old Eugene Peterson. But enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy it and to find joy that spreads to others. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. You're not convinced, are you? You are not convinced. But this is the word of God. Well, that's Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, I appreciate. But God's call is that whatever you do, we serve a higher purpose. You know, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24, with this I finish today. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And here's the reason why we do it. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Does that make it worth it? He's writing to slaves here. He's writing to slaves who have no choice about the work they do. And he's saying to them, there's something bigger waiting for you. There's an inheritance for you. Remember the story when you were slaves in Egypt? Do you remember when your people were slaves in Egypt? And I made a promise to Abraham and I said that you will build a nation that will be blessed and be a blessing. Do you remember that? You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Because it's him you're serving. So whatever you do, whatever it is going to happen this week, would you know those truths today? You're serving him. And there is a reward, a glorious inheritance for those who stay the course and those who keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. When you realize that God is for you, you won't fear what happens to you because you know that God is working in you to fulfill his purpose through you. So when that alarm goes off tomorrow morning, don't hit the snooze, will you? Jump out of bed, ready. God, whatever you want me to do today, I'm going to do it all in your name. Whether you're writing a parking ticket because you're a traffic warden, or you're writing a software program that will transform the world, or you're going to sit down and write a book starting tomorrow morning, we do it for him, for his honor and for his glory. That's what makes it a priority. That's what gives you purpose, and that's what renews your passion to serve him. Whether we're gathered in worship or scattered across our communities tomorrow. May you know his presence and his power at work in you and through you each moment you live.